All right. We're going to, like I said, I saved our scripture reading this morning for now. It's rather long and extensive. We're going to cover through verse 26 in our scripture reading, and we'll be looking in verses 1 through 15 today. So if you would, open up to John chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. I am reading out of the New American Standard. So the Pew Bibles, if you don't have one, will fit. So, therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although John himself was not baptizing, but his disciples, although Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were, he left Judea and went away again into Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. And it was about the sixth hour. And there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman?" For Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And she said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well, and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" And Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But that water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I will not be thirsty, nor come all the way here to draw." And he said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." And the woman answered and said to him, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You are correct that you said you have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly." And the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in the mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You will worship what you do not know. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." And the woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When the one comes, he will declare all things to us." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Let's pray. Father, what a mighty, powerful passage that we'll be looking at over the next 2 weeks. Father, realizing that the Son of God proclaimed who he was for the first time to this woman at this well. Father, give us clarity of thought this morning. Father, may the words that flow out of my mouth be directed by your Holy Spirit. Father, to draw us closer to you. And Father, if there's anybody in this room or watching or listening who does not know you, does not know the Son of God as their Lord and Savior, Father, may your Spirit work through the words of your Holy Scripture to guide them and direct them to a relationship with you. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, as we go through this passage the next couple weeks, I want you to kind of keep in the back of your thoughts the three main characters that we'll be looking at. We'll be looking at Jesus. We'll be looking at this woman. And then some that are neglected, we're going to look at the disciples and where they fall in this story. Evangelism and the proclamation of God's word can come in different synopses. We can have, like Nicodemus, someone who comes up to you and says, "Sir, madam, what must I do to be saved?" Hopefully, most of us can handle that. If somebody were to come up and ask us, hopefully we're knowledgeable enough to be able to communicate. I do know for certain that no matter where your knowledge level is in the Word of God, that God can use whatever knowledge you have and can bring it to remembrance so that you can have a good conversation. Then there's others, much like this woman that we're going to meet today. As we're out and about, we may come up to someone. And it's not really a, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" conversation. It would be more like a, "Sir, madam, you need to be saved." Conversation. And for many of us, that's a little bit more difficult to kind of break that conversation. Maybe it's not even with strangers. Maybe it's with family members, our children, our siblings, aunts, uncles, cousins. Because most of the time when these conversations are initiated, the conclusions aren't always what we want them to be or what we expect them to be. But every now and then, as the Spirit of God moves, we have a woman at the well experience. And that's what we'll kind of talk about today. So John starts out here at the beginning of chapter 4. We're switching gears. Last week we finished up John's conversation about John the Baptist. John's disciples kind of getting jealous of Jesus. You know, and John in his famous quip, which I have on my license plate, "He must increase, but I must decrease." So Jesus, it says here, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were, he left Judea and went away into Galilee. So Jesus is starting to cause a little stir. He's caught the attention of the scribes and the Pharisees. And he's out proclaiming the message of repentance. I mean, as I look through the New Testament, this is probably the message that Jesus communicated while he was in ministry. This is probably what most of his conversations were about, continuing John's presentation of repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And Jesus here, and I think this is the last that we'll hear of Jesus baptizing, he was baptizing much in the same way as John was. Not baptizing new believers' baptism, but baptizing for repentance. And these were mainly Jews who, after 400 years of silence from God, they're hearing this message of repentance, and they wish to associate with it and be baptized. And notice John's little footnote here that Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were. And I think I mentioned last week or the week before, you know, what kind of a head would we have, you know, come the year AD 46, 10 to 15 years after Jesus was crucified, and you could walk around saying, I was baptized by Jesus. So this kind of kept that down. So it says, then he left where he was and went back into Galilee. Now we have an interesting verse. Verse 4. John says he had to pass through Samaria. He had to pass through Samaria. That would be kind of like me saying that I'm going from Dover to Akron, and I must pass through Canton. Do I have to pass through Canton? Well, why? I could go around. I mean, I could go to Sugar Creek and then up through Millersburg, and, you know, it wouldn't be quite as straight, but I could get there. See, Samaria to the Jews was a place you didn't want to go. Jews didn't want to associate with Samaritans. They didn't want to talk to Samaritans. I mean, we have the story of the Good Samaritan who went out of his way to help a Jew. But Jesus had to pass through Samaria. And there's reasons why he had to. Verse 5. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. And it was the sixth hour. It's about noon. High noon. The sun's beaten down. This part of Samaria was very desert-laden. There wasn't a lot of water. There were a few wells that had been dug. And it says Jesus was wearied. This is another expression of Jesus' humanity. As he's making this journey, as he's walking with his disciples, as the sun is beating down. Jesus finds this well. But that's not the right way to say that. Jesus knew exactly where he was going. He knew the exact location of this well. And it was because of this well that Jesus must go through Samaria. Verse 7, we're going to introduce player number 2. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Many things we'll be learning about this woman that came to draw. Most of it we'll study in depth next week. But for the most part, people did not come to a well at noon to draw water. The common practice was either early in the morning or late in the afternoon, when the bite of the sun would have been taken off. Number 2, this well, this Jacob's well, and where it wasn't the closest well to Sychar. She could have passed 2 or 3 other wells where she could have gotten her water. Why this well? Why out here in the middle of nowhere? And as we'll find out, she was not a woman of great reputation. Or she had a great reputation that just wasn't great, however you want to look at it. But she had a great need. Verse 8. So Jesus at the well, this woman came. Jesus said, "Give me a drink." And the reason why he asked her, verse 8 says, his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. It's a little interesting in and of itself there as well. Number 1, how many people does it take to buy food? Number 2, you have, I'm going to assume that at this point Jesus is up to 12 disciples. You know, whatever number he had, you got this group of at least 5 or 6, as many as 12, going into a Samaritan city to buy food from Samaritans. That in and of itself is kind of strange. But that's where they're at. So Jesus, because they are not there, he asks this woman, "Give me a drink." Verse 9, therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, I mean, she's taken aback at this guy. She's, you know, number 1, she doesn't expect anybody to be at this well at noon, let alone a Jew dressed in the clothing of a rabbi. So she walks out, and I don't know. Cute little story. Beth reminded me of this the other night. There were times in my life that I would pull up to a gas station. Jim's saying, "Where in the world is he going?" I would pull up to a gas station, and the gas thingy was on this side, and I would pull up to the gas pumps on this side, and I would leave the gas station and find another one, because I was kind of embarrassed that I didn't know which side. You know, I kind of get that kind of feeling with this woman as she approaches Jesus at this well. I can imagine her kind of slowing down, kind of, well, there's another well half a mile that way. Maybe I should go there. But she keeps her course. And I can imagine as she gets closer and sees him as, she dressed as a Jewish rabbi, she's like, I ain't got nothing to worry about. He's not even going to acknowledge I'm here. But he speaks to her. He says, give me a drink. She says to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink since I am a Samaritan woman? Do you kind of get the feeling she's a little spunky? I mean, as we'll find out next week, she's been around the block at least 6 times. She's had probably everything in the world, accusation-wise, thrown at her. I mean, she's coming to the well at this time of the day to avoid people. I mean, she's probably the subject of many conversations from the people in her town. And here's a Jew, a Jewish rabbi, a teacher. I mean, it's said that Jewish rabbis didn't even talk to females in their own family. Wouldn't that be nice? Oh, no, just kidding. So, she's bewildered. What are you doing speaking to me? For Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who gave it and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. This is kind of similar to Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes to Jesus with all this high praise. Oh, we know you're a teacher from God, sent from God. Blah, 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 blah. You know, pat you on the back. And Jesus says, you must be born again. Jesus answered the question that Nicodemus needed answered, but never asked. And in the same way, Jesus is answering the question that this woman needed, that she didn't know she needed to ask. Let me paraphrase. I mean, if you knew what the gift of God was, and if you knew that I had this gift, and if you knew, you would have been asking me for a drink instead of me asking you for a drink. And I would have given you living water. What did Nicodemus do when Jesus said you must be born again?
What? You want me to crawl back up into my mother's womb and go through the whole birthing process again?
He took a spiritual picture and made it physical. She does the same thing. She says to him, sir, you don't even have anything to draw with. And this is a deep well. Where are you going to find living waters? And what did he mean by living water? I mean, I'm going to throw a bucket down and I'm going to bring up water and it's going to have fish in it? I mean, that could be living water. I don't know. What does it mean, living water? She says, "Who do you think you are?" I mean, she just sees him as a Jew. She sees him as a stuck-up Jew who normally don't talk to women, let alone Samaritan women. In verse 12, she tries to put him in his place. The Son of God. Who do you think you are? I'm going to paraphrase these as well. Who in the world do you think you are? Do you think you're greater than our father Jacob, who dug this well, who gave it to his children, who gave it to his cattle, who left it for us? I mean, this well's been here for upteen hundreds of years since Jacob walked this earth. You think you're greater than him? Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again." Is that a true statement? I mean, I don't care where we get our water. I like the little bottles. I like the little cans that are carbonated and have aspartame in them and taste like Sprite. But it doesn't matter how much you drink. Let's see. This morning so far I've had 2 cups of coffee, 2 glasses of Squirt Zero. Excuse me while I am. Guess what? When we leave, as I pass Wendy's, as I pass McDonald's and Speedway, I'm not going to be thinking about food per se. But I'm going to be thinking to myself, oh, how nice it would be to go through the drive-thru and get something to drink. Because no matter how much we drink, we get thirsty. Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." So far this morning we've seen three characters. We've seen Jesus, the giver of living water. We've seen this Samaritan woman, someone who needs this living water. And we've seen the disciples, who could be assisting in the process of giving eternal life and eternal water. But where are they? They're buying food. Jesus was at the right place at the right time for the right purpose. The Samaritan woman was at the right place at the right time, not knowing what her purpose was. And the disciples were off doing good things. They weren't off sinning. They weren't off lollygagging. They were doing good things. But they could be doing better and more. Do you thirst today spiritually? I'm not talking about going home and getting a drink from Wendy's. That's not what I'm talking about. Is there something deep inside of you that you thirst spiritually because it has not been filled. I mean, it's different. This thirst, this living water, it's different from the Spirit of God coming to those of us that know Him and filling our cups with His Spirit. This is that initial salvation that Jesus gives. We're going to see all the questions that this woman has next week. We're going to go through each one of these questions and look at them and how they can be answered by having the living water that Christ gives. Again, this lady has no clue why she's where she's at. Some of you this morning, here, in this place, some of you right now, the two or three that are watching, or those that will watch continuing through the week, or those listening from sermon audio, you may not know why you're listening. But God does. And God has placed you at this place, at this particular time, so that you might hear from Him. Sir, you have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? And I'm sure Jesus is thinking at this point, I am the living water. It is me who I wish to give to you. That's the message that we have. Many of us are spending a lot of time out buying food, like the disciples. We're doing good things. But we're not giving living water, or the message of living water. We're so wrapped up in our need for food. I mean, I can imagine this. Think of these guys. We know a lot of them through our studies of the Bible. We're hungry, Jesus. Let's go into town and buy food. You guys go ahead. I'm going to go over here and sit. Well, why, Jesus? You guys just go. It's kind of... You ever know people that they get something in their head and you just can't talk them out of it? Just go, Peter. Just go, John. Go buy food. And they miss an opportunity to see a miracle, as we'll see next week. A lot to learn here. A lot we've begun. And we'll finish up with it next week. I hope that's a good enough teaser to bring you back. Father, we thank you for this woman. Father, this woman who was the first person that you communicated who you are. She says, I know that the Messiah is coming. He was called Christ. And when this one comes, he will declare all things to us. And Jesus says to her, I, this person that you are speaking to, I am that Messiah. I am this living water. Father, I pray that each and every one of us today has this living water. Lord, water that your word says will spring up. And give eternal life. Father, this lady did not come looking for living water. But you gave it to her. Father, I pray that you would continue to distribute your living water to all in need. And may you use us as your mouthpieces. Father, we love you. We ask you, Lord, to keep us safe and continue to grow us. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.